Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. We're live at the Gibson Garage today. Nashville Super Speedway having an event. And a reminder, Chasing Checkers tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll talk some racing. You'll hear some things from here as well. So looking forward to that. The Utah Mammoth, by the way, is now the name of the Utah Hockey Club.
I like it.
I mean, it's fine. I wanted the Yeti, but I guess there were some copyright issues or something there.
Oh, you think?
They went with the Mammoth, and quite frankly, the logo looks like something I created on the NHL 08 video game. But
good for them, man.
But there you go. Now they have
their name. It's never easy to pick, you know, a name for all that. Like the Titans, Predators. I mean, you got when you do that, you got to get it right.
Sure.
So I don't mind the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah.
It's better than the Yeti. When I think of Yeti, I think of Steeplechase. When I think of Mammoth,
That's this weekend, isn't it?
It is this weekend.
Yeah. Are you going? You got your hat?
I do. I've got the box reserved. We're good to go. All good, man.
You and Sudzo?
Sudzo, a bunch of us out there. Yeah, our boxes are sponsored by Prestige Worldwide.
Nice.
So, yeah, right?
I love that.
So, it'll be a lot of fun out there this weekend.
Swing through South Haven, grab some friends, and then...
Good to go, man. I got my seersucker. Picked it up. Picked its Sam Walton collection. I look forward to this weekend.
Love that. There are, you know, free agents. Now we're kind of in that, I don't know if you call it the second wave, but the post-draft wave of free agency. Titans still have needs. Corner is a question because we don't know what's going to happen with L'Jarius Sneed. They have some young corners, but if Mike Hilton is a cheap option, I wouldn't hate it. I think there's, you know, he played for the Bengals when Brian Callahan was there. Was with the Steelers before that, undrafted guy, you know, he works for it. So I wouldn't hate that, but what about pass rush?
Oh, well, I mean, they've only got the guy from Arden Key, who I think is terrible.
And then
the guy from UCLA.
Yeah, that they just drafted, Oladejo.
Look at you, man.
Yep.
I couldn't have pronounced that if you gave me 1,000 tries. But my thing, though, with these secondary free agents, why were you not signed during the first wave?
Well, I mean.
Just curious.
A lot of reasons. You know, there's guys that I think they know they can wait on. Like, they wanted too much money at the time. You know, who knows?
Pass rusher for me, like, when they got Babin in 2010.
Yeah.
He came in and was just – if a guy's looking for that third contract, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the guy I want. Babin was looking for that third contract. So, when he came in 2010, made Pro Bowl, he was a force. If you can find a guy like that off the edge who comes in and who's motivated to get to number three, then I'm all for it. Just plug some guy in there. How many guys we've seen? Remember Cameron Wimberly?
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. Just terrible. And guys they bring in for 1 year that do nothing. Just don't waste our time.
Right. I was trying to find a list. There's a NFL.com has the best fits for some of the remaining – free agents that are out there, and Mike Hilton is the one that's listed for the Tennessee Titans. But when you're talking about edge rushers, like Za'Darius Smith is one, Preston Smith is one. I mean, these are names that I probably would have loved 4 or 5 years ago, but now it's kind of like, you know, who knows what we're going to get. Matthew Judon is out there.
Okay.
I mean, if you can get them on a, you know, bargain basement deal, then –
bring him in and know that your goal is one thing is to rush the passer hard every single play. I'm all for it. I just because they are so thin at that position right now, it's kind of scary a little bit heading in if you stand here on May the 7th, look at this football team. But there's time.
Yeah.
There's time.
I mean, so I have a feeling there's going to be some veteran guys that probably get brought in here, you know, for a workout or something as – training camp gets closer, you know, they're in the what they call the I guess the second phase
right
now of the offseason program, get OTAs going.
Yeah, who do you think is the best second chance guy the Titans ever signed?
Oh, great
guy
question.
Looking for that second chance.
Frank Wycheck.
I see that. I was going Vandenbosch
is a good one. Delanie Walker,
yeah,
is a good one. I think Wycheck and Delanie, it was their second team, but probably their first true chance
yeah.
that they really got.
They got, yeah, because Frank got cut by the Redskins.
Yeah.
And then Delaney was kind of 49ers, like, nah, we're good. Go do your thing.
Vannevar Bosch is a good one.
I mean, he was the Cardinals. He was great. He was injured and injured again. And I think he came here in 05 and just from 05 to 09 was a force.
Where do you put Neil O'Donnell in that conversation?
Man, that was Neil's fourth team.
He left the Steelers, signed with the Jets, got cut by the Jets, 1 year with the Bengals, and then here?
Yes.
I think?
Yep.
Yeah.
But he serviced his role perfectly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the perfect backup.
Right. He was.
For Steven.
Just shut his mouth, did the job, supported Steve, got the job done when he was called upon to do that. He was great. Yeah, I mean, so second, man.
That was one of those, like, sneaky, very, very good signings by Floyd Reese.
Oh, yeah.
Because, he had a guy that had played in a Super Bowl. You know, you didn't want him to be your starter, but knew the kind of game Steve played. And Steve was still a young quarterback that if you needed to go to him, you could.
I know we're leaving somebody out.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on this, the best second chance player ever by the Titans. That is a
Tannehill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably.
I mean, he got the he was decent at Miami, got injured, came here, got traded here, was a backup, but knowing that he would be starting, and then because he ended up being the second best quarterback that the Titans have ever had.
Yeah. I mean, Ridley could be making a case for that.
I get to see a bit more, Frank. I need.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, this would be kind of a third chance.
Yeah.
But.
Would DeMarco Murray fall in this category?
No.
Because, he had success in Dallas.
Yeah, he was a leading rusher in the NFC. And then he came here, and then it just never worked out with him. And because always had Derek, you knew Derek Henry at one moment was going to take over. But that's a good guess, but yeah. Not really up there.
Joey from Bellevue said Nate Washington was a steal. Now, Nate, that's not a bad one because Nate was okay with Pittsburgh. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh.
He went two?
Maybe two. Yeah, I think you're right. But he was put in a position to shine more here.
Yeah, so that's a good one. That's a really
I like
good
that
one.
Yeah. Tannehill obviously gets a vote. Scott has two very good ones that I didn't even think of. One of them comes on our show every week.
Brett Kern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good one. Kerry Collins.
It was
kind of a redemption story, though.
You have to be better here than you were before you got here. Your career had to keep going upwards.
I'd have to look at
O. Kerry went to a Super Bowl with the Giants.
Yeah, but 08 was pretty. He was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I know Chris Johnson was kind of the focal point, but
he was a nice, steady rudder for this football team. He kept it firm, kept it straight, didn't go off course down the line. That was a great signing by Fisher in 06 to bring him in here. But he did lead the Giants to the Super Bowl in 2000.
615-737-1025, the best second chance Titan of all time. This is a great question that Joe has come up with.
Thank you.
We'll take your calls and texts on this. Coming up next, we're live today at the Gibson Garage with the Nashville Super Speedway. And, of course, our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we will be tomorrow. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura at the Hermitage Golf Course, is on Thursday, May 29th. Sign up to play or sponsor by visiting 615open.com.
He's right. Mariota looking for Delaney Walker. He's got him. And Walker is in. Touchdown, Titans. Second touchdown pass of the day for Marcus Mariota. And Tennessee goes right back in front.
Ah, the old days. Chasing Big Joe live today at the Gibson Garage in downtown Nashville, an event with the Nashville Super Speedway. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds will take on Norfolk beginning at 6:20 with the pregame. First pitch at 6:35. You can also listen on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. You've thrown out another question. The best second-chance player ever for the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Which I think is a really good one.
You have to. That player has to have done better here than any other place he did before. And hopefully before is another one spot. But here, we brought up Whitechek, Vandenbosch, Delanie Walker, Nate Washington, guys who have really, you know, cemented their career because of what they did here in Nashville.
Also, the Titans are re-signing veteran defensive tackle James Lynch, giving the former Vikings fourth rounder a one-year deal. I think he was here last year for a cup of coffee, maybe. But
cup of coffee.
615-737-1025. Some more on our text line. Lenny, I think, is joking, saying Julio Jones.
gosh, right?
Joey Nashville said number 68. I'm assuming you mean Kevin Mawai, but to your point, Mawai was pretty good with the Jets.
Mawai was great with the Seahawks, 94 yeah. to 97. He's with the Jets from 98 to 05 and then came here from 06 to 09. He was great. No, he was great here, but he was beautiful, wonderful, whatever word you want to use with the Jets to when he had his career was there. So it was awesome. So, yeah, that he's good, but he's, you know, he did really good with the Jets.
I think John and Burns said Vandenbosch as well. I mean, I think Vandenbosch might be, based on what you're saying, might be one of the best ones.
I mean, he was a second rounder by the Cardinals, kind of left out there. Nobody wanted him. He was injured, and he came here in 05 and just – I remember Chase watching him in practice 05, and some of the veterans were like, oh, he can't keep this up. He can't keep this up. He can't keep going to practice this way. And – he did. I mean, he was from 05 to 09, Vandenbosch was a force.
Wes in Clarksville says, how many players have done better after they've left here?
Well, up until A.J. Brown, there weren't many.
No, I mean, really, I don't think D-Mace did better in Baltimore than he did here. He did good.
He just continued a great career.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think if you look at his numbers when he became a starter, they were better. He was all pro here.
Yep, he was.
Pro Bowl here.
I'm going to go back old school in this one. John Thornton, to me, was better with the Bengals and was a – people don't
That's
talk about like was great with the Bengals. You know, he wasn't all Pro Bowl, all the things going, but he was a solid force of that team for a long time. He was okay here.
John Runyon, I think, was better here.
Yeah, I mean, he went to the Eagles. He was.
Yeah, he got paid.
Yep, he got paid.
I mean, Haynesworth, we know, was better here.
It was.
Could have been better. I mean, that was on him. I mean, he could have.
He got.
It's a good question.
He, you know, that's the 08 season. The contract here was franchised, and he was like, I'm going to get the money. He got paid. Good for him. That's what they do.
Tannehill's certainly a good one. Nevada Josh said Yancey Thigpen, Brian Arakpo. Now Arakpo,
yes,
I would that's a good one. Thigpen was terrible.
Terrible. Arakpo was great, man. He came in here and did what he had to do and
he was good with Washington, but he kind of kept it going here.
He did.
Our buddy Ricky, and I couldn't believe how many teams this guy played for, but said Joe Nedney. He played for 12 teams.
Like we said, like Tim Hasselbeck says, keep playing until they all tell you, all 32 say, oh, we're good. And then he was there. I mean, it was.
Weston Clarksville said Malik Willis was better after he left here.
He was.
Kind of was. Yeah,
he won the game.
I don't think that's wrong.
That happened there. But is there one that left here that really. I mean, A.J. Brown, obviously. But up to that point,
okay,
there wasn't
many.
Okay,
what do you think? This is an interesting one. Pac-Man Jones. Ron said Pac-Man.
Oof.
That's a tough one because, I mean, Dallas, he couldn't stay out of trouble either. And he flamed out there. Did he go one more place before the Bengals? Or
I don't think so.
But, he had a nice career with the Bengals. He's, you know.
But he had – I guess here's the thing. He had every opportunity to succeed here.
Yes.
So it's not like he did better. He had a better opportunity. He was just a complete, absolute idiot. And had every chance to do good here, and he did awful here off the field. So
he was here 05 to 07, Dallas in 08, then out, and then from 2010 to 2017, Cincinnati, and then his last year was in Denver in 18.
Yeah. 06, he was suspended for how many games? I forget.
There was one. He was suspended for the whole year, one year.
Yeah. So he's just a knucklehead. But
he tried to do wrestling during that.
That's right. He had every opportunity to succeed here, and he just didn't do it. So, to me, I get what you're saying, and that's a good one, but to me, it just doesn't count.
It's a fascinating study on him for sure. But we'll get back to this and much more coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, we're going to have a race car driver on with us who drives for a local team in the Xfinity Series. Nick Sanchez is going to join us here in just a second on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're live at the Gibson Garage today. Dr. Crane back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. We're at the Gibson Garage, Nashville Super Speedway, about to have a cool event out here a little bit later today. And one of the drivers that will be a part of this is Nick Sanchez. He drives for Big Machine Racing, the number 48 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, which is a local team, Scott Borchetta and Big Machine. And I was telling Nick before we went on the air, he doesn't remember this, but I interviewed him right before his first ARCA race in Daytona probably 5 years ago, maybe something like that. But you've come a long way since then.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while since that 2021 race. But, yeah, thanks for having me.
Wait, hold on real quick. How did you do in that race?
I wrecked.
Thanks a lot, Chase. Sorry for that.
Sorry to bring that up, but how's it been going with Big Machine in your first year with them?
Yeah, you know, it's been great with the team. Obviously, you know, they had pretty good success with Parker Kligerman the past 2 years, and I wanted to come take it to another level this year. And we started off the season good, but as of lately, we've been contending for wins the last three races. And we're close, so it's been pretty good.
You're one of those up-and-coming drivers, but I like your path, how you've done it, going ARCA and, you know, run some trucks, run some Xfinity, not trying to dive into the deep end too much. How much has that helped you grow over the last few years?
Yeah, it's been everything, right? You know, when you look at modern-day NASCAR, it's very easy to skip series, but I've done the true, you know, grassroots to where I am now, progression, right? You know, going from late models to ARCA to trucks to Xfinity and hopefully in the future Cup.
How do all you guys start go-kart racing, right? Is that how you got it going?
No. It kind of depends on your background and your path. For me, I started in road course karting. A lot of guys in NASCAR start, you know, on oval go-karts, which are two totally different things, or
right.
Dirt. So it's a totally different background.
I couldn't do that here, could I?
It's not as popular, I would say, in Nashville for sure.
Right.
You know? The open wheel karting scene is growing up in Miami. That was really everything. You'd have a lot of IndyCar and F1 drivers, you know, have winters in Miami, and you know the local kart track there was just popping with them. So it's really prominent over there, but not really so much here.
So how did you know you're built for? I mean, this was what you wanted to do. Did you just destroy people on that track?
No. I just begged my parents that I wanted to become a race car driver, and they obviously, you know, gave me the opportunity to chase that dream. So it was something that I woke up one day and I wanted to do. I always had a love for cars, not necessarily racing. I had a love for cars, and you know, I had 5 acres where I grew up in Miami, and I always had, you know, side by sides and UTVs. So it's something I was familiar with, and I knew I loved driving and I was good at it. I wanted to see how I could do in racing, and here I am.
You mentioned earlier this is you've been 12 weeks in a row you're racing.
Yeah. Yep.
And so
first off weekend.
So what are you gonna do? Watch racing?
Yeah. Obviously watch racing and then get ready for my next race in about 2 weeks. So it never stops, right? You know, just because you have an off weekend, just because you have a couple days to relax, doesn't mean you stop working. So I just try to treat it like it's a race weekend.
Nick Sanchez is with us, Xfinity Series driver. Do you spend a lot of time in the sim?
A lot of time, yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
The simulator.
Oh, yeah.
See, look, Chase, you guys in the jargon.
Do you do iRacing?
I honestly do not like iRacing. It's probably not a very popular take. I hate iRacing, actually. But the General Motors manufacturer sim is a big help for us race teams and us drivers.
I'm fascinated by those because, like, you know, I've talked to different drivers that have said how realistic it is. Like, if you go, like, Texas, you just raced at, mm-hmm. has that bump that everybody was talking about. Like, did it help you with that?
Yeah, you know, your car and your weekend starts in a simulator. So it's as much for the team as it is for me as a driver. If anything, it doesn't really help me as a driver, just because once you've been to the place, you know how it looks.
Yes.
But the simulator, you really predict your car balance, and that's just how you set the tone for your weekend. It starts there.
Now, how did you feel getting ready for Texas? And you're like, yeah, we're feeling good. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Larson's name pops up on the entry list.
I love it. I love when Cup guys, especially someone like Kyle Larson, as talented as he is, I love when they come running our series because I got to race him. Me and him were running for second there for a little bit. And, you know, you take him out of the race and I probably lead 60 or 70 laps. But I'd rather finish second to someone like Kyle Larson than win without him there. That's for sure.
Do you? And I know in the moment you're racing, you're not really seeing what he's doing. But when you go back and watch, do you pick some things up? Like you see, okay, well, he kind of did that in that line. Like, is that something that you can use?
You know, with someone like that, it's not necessarily that he's doing something different than you as far as where he's running on the racetrack. It's just a level he's running at. And, you know, I was trying to keep him behind me, and I was having to drive 100%. And that's just the way he drives. That's the way those top cup guys drive. And, it allows me to, you know, raise myself up to that level and, you know, to get better as a race car driver.
You won at Daytona. Yes. How was that? I mean, it was an ARCA. I mean, not ARCA. It was
a truck race last year.
But you still, you won at Daytona.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was my first career win in the truck series last year. And, yeah, it was a really cool moment. And it's a very hard place to win because in some ways it's not really in your control.
So when you get in victory lane, was that just overwhelmed? I mean, I would think you're at Daytona and victory. What do you call it again?
Victory lane, winner's circle,
whatever. Yeah. Chase is a race guy. I'm learning every day.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's overwhelming. I mean, you're just excited. You're over the moon, I guess. And you know, you remember all the hard work to get there and all that. But once you get in victory lane, you just want to go back again. It's addicting.
Oh, I'm sure it is. What is it about the pull of this sport that gets so many people fired up?
I think the competition, right? The competition's everything. You know, all of us, we're competitors, and we want to beat each other, and we want to win. And that's what drives me. I'm a competitor at heart, and I love racing. So you just want to be better than the next guy.
Nick Sanchez is here with us. We're at Gibson Guitar. How cool would it be to win one of these Gibson guitars coming up in a few weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been close to getting one in 2023 in a truck. So yep. There's not many trophies that you could – that I mean, look, you want every trophy as a race car driver, but there's a couple that you leave the track a little bit more bummed out that you didn't get, and that guitar is one of them. So I want to right the wrongs and try to get it.
What do you like about Nashville? Because you're right, you've been pretty good there.
Yeah, Nashville is just such a unique track because we only go to a couple concrete tracks, Bristol obviously, and then Dover, which are, you know, traditional ovals. Nashville's like a tri-oval, mile and a half style, but it's concrete, and it races unlike any other track that we go to, and it's just so unique, and it's a driver's track, and it's the way you drive that track, the finesse that you need is different than most other tracks.
Will you double dip here or no?
No, just the Xfinity race.
When you want to double dip, how does that go about? You say, hey, I'm going to drive trucks this weekend. Do you have to clear it with your boss? Look,
everything needs to go through my boss, Scott Prochetta.
Right.
you know, I double dipped in the truck series at Texas for Spire Motorsports, you know, a team I had a relationship with the past 2 years. So, every now and then I'll probably do that. But, you know, my main job is Saturday.
That's right.
No, that's what pays the bills. You have not raced in the Cup Series yet.
No.
Have you been in a Gen 7 car at all?
Only in the simulator.
Only in the simulator.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your takeaway with that? Because, like, there's been so much Ross Chastain walking in. So many changes with the car, with that Gen 7 car that I'm sure is completely different from an Xfinity car.
Yeah. I mean, look, in a simulator, it just feels like a regular race car. It honestly kind of drives like a truck.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, the single lap stuff is what makes that car what it is. It's the racing. The racing's super hard, and the cars are so close, it's hard to pass another car, right? Because when you're running the same stuff, it's hard to get an edge. So I think it'll be a totally different story, you know, when I get the chance to run it in real life. But, feels like another race car.
What's your favorite track?
All of them. Yes.
I should know better than ask a NASCAR guy that. Yeah, perfect.
How cool was it to, you know, to kind of look at the Xfinity schedule and, you know, obviously it matches up with the Cup schedule quite a bit, but to be able to go back to Rockingham and just the history there with the Rockingham Speedway, how cool was that?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, obviously they raced there way before my time. I think the last race they had there was a year before I started kart racing.
Yeah.
So it was never a race that I watched on TV, and I don't really have any nostalgia from there. But I think going back, you know, a lot of my crew guys and just the fan reception just shows how important a place like that has in our sport, and I think it's great for the series.
Well, NASCAR's done a good job with that the last few years. North Wilkesboro, and you race there in the trucks. Rockingham, you know, obviously
sure.
Nashville's a historic city at a different track, but the fairgrounds could certainly be in play as well. I think it's been cool to kind of see the new stuff, but also going back to the roots.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, NASCAR, it's never you always want to remember where you came from, right? In NASCAR, you think of Daytona, Martinsville, and I feel like you put the Rockinghams and the Wilkesboros in there, and I think they definitely have a place on our schedule. And yeah, the reception going back makes you question why we ever left.
Ooh, that's a good one. Last one for me, all-time favorite driver?
For me growing up, my favorite driver was Dale Earnhardt Jr.
It's a good one.
Larger-than-life figure, and I would say that he would probably go down as my favorite.
Have you gotten to interact with him much?
I interacted with him very briefly, but just racing with his cars on the racetrack,
yeah,
it's pretty cool, and trying to beat him.
Yeah, for sure. Nick, thanks so much for doing this. Good luck here in a couple of weeks at Charlotte and then Nashville. I mean, that's the next two is Charlotte and Nashville, but good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Nick Sanchez, he's the driver of the number 48 in the Xfinity Series, and, of course, we'll be racing in the Tennessee Lottery 250 at the Nashville Super Speedway. Coming up on May 31st, we'll have more here from Gibson Garage on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, here from Gibson Garage today with the Nashville Super Speedway. They have an event coming up, and one of the drivers that will be a part of that is Dawson Sutton. He drives the number 25 for Rackley War in the Craftsman Truck Series, a local team. We like the local connections.
Yes, we
here.
Do.
And Dawson, only 19 years old, but has been racing for a while and out at the fairgrounds. He'll be at the Super Speedway coming up in about 3 weeks, but running for the hometown team, running for your dad. How cool is that?
It's awesome. You know, it's super cool to, you know, race, you know, out of the stable here. Well, we moved to North Carolina at the end of last year, but, we're still a hometown team at the end of the day.
We claim you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's right.
It's super cool to, race for, you know, like I said, you know, a Tennessee team, and there's not many of them at all. There's none of them. So it's super cool to, have that, that perseverance and just being able to race here and, you know, race at the local tracks and being able to go to the National Super Speedway here in a few weeks.
Is there any extra pressure knowing that it's the Rackley Roofing 200?
Oh, yeah, exactly. All the pressure in the world on that one.
Everybody there is like, hey, man, don't let us down. Come on, go win this thing.
Exactly. I've already heard it enough from my dad and everybody else. It's a big one. I raced in it last year as well.
Yep.
That was my second race ever. So it's super cool to, you know, get back there with a little bit more experience and hopefully, you know, being able to make some people proud.
You can't win or lose, because if you win, they're like, that's all Rackley, no wonder. And if you don't win, you're like, oh, man, it's your race there. But at the end of the day, I'm talking to you, you're having the time of your life.
Yeah, it's super cool, being able to go there, and let alone just, you know, being able to race in the truck series. It's super cool to have that experience each and every week, and, you know, I'm new to this as well. I started racing 3 years ago, so it's cool to get, you know, all these races under my belt and to go to places like Daytona and, you know, even National Super Speedway for, you know, the Rackley Roofing 200. It'll be cool to go there here in a few weeks and hopefully try to win.
How did you get into this?
Yeah, I got into this, like I said, 3 years ago, so I'm still pretty new. You know, a lot of kids started when they were 4 years old. And I started, I went to Daytona for the first time. My dad sponsored a truck, and as soon as I walked through the tunnel there, I really fell in love with it. I fell in love with the racing. So that's, you know, really how it started. It's super cool to, you know, being able to go to, you know, all these racetracks that, you know, I always dreamed about racing at. I say dreamed, but I really didn't know anything about racing until about 4 years ago. So, but I mean, it's super cool to go to all these places and just learn and, you know, have fun each and every week.
How big of a jump is it? You said you run the late model stuff too, to go from these short tracks to sitting in a truck at Daytona, which is a 2.5 mile super speedway, or Talladega. I mean, like that's got to be a little shocking.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you're moving. You have a lot of speed. It's a lot. It's a bigger jump from the late model stuff. But at the end of the day, I really think the truck stuff is. It feels a lot slower than the late model stuff. You know, my super late model has 650 horsepower and it weighs, you know, nothing, little to none. So there's so much more power. And, you know, if we really went to those big tracks in a super late model, it'd just be too dangerous. But you have so much speed, and then you get in the truck and, you know, they're a lot less horsepower, but you race on the bigger tracks and it's a lot more aero dependent. But, I mean, it's super cool still, like you said, to, you know, get to, you know, some of those bigger tracks and, you know, move upwards of 200 miles per hour. It's pretty crazy.
You are 19 years old. Dawson, at 19, I was stealing money out of my mother's purse. You're riding these big tracks. I mean, this is with you. I mean, how much fun are you having now that you understand what's going on?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to do until about 3 years ago when I found racing. So to be just being able to have it on my back and being able to just go have fun, you know, I'm young. You know, also you just got to have fun in racing. You know, if you're not having fun, I don't think there's a point to do it. And, you know, you just got to do your best as well because, you know, it's my job. So it's super cool to being able to have it, you know, such a fun job. And I get to do it so much, and I'm just so thankful for, you know, all my sponsors and my team for putting in such hard work, and I'm just super thankful that I get to do this sport, and luckily enough that I can do it.
Look at you, man. You'll do more interviews, you'll do more press things going on, be part of your life, man. Where do you see yourself 5 years?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my goal is to be in the Cup Series, you know, here in a few years, maybe 2-3 years. It was the goal. Hopefully, you know, win a truck championship in the next few years. You know, right now I'm just getting experience, like I said, in some of these bigger tracks. And it's really been a good learning curve. Last week I finished 9th at Texas, a top 10, and I was, you know, happy with it. I'll take, you know, all the top 10s that I can get, all the top 5s. And, you know, it's just a learning experience at the end of the day. And then once you, you know, really get that experience under your belt, you really can move up into the higher series. And then just the Cup Series, or the how NASCAR works now, you get little to none practice. You get 20 minutes of practice each week,
right,
and you go straight to qualifying. So it's super hard to, you know, being able to adjust, you know, each and every week. And really you just rely on the simulator that you get to do, you know, each and every week.
Will you settle a bet for us? Is it Lebanon or Lebanon?
Lebanon.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it's not Lebanon.
Lebanon.
And that's your hometown, right? No. That's your place.
Yep.
Dawson Sutton is here with us, driver for Rackley War. Will you do the late model event the night before the truck race out at the fairgrounds?
Yeah, I will. It's my first race there this season, and you know, I raced the whole season there last year, so I'm really looking forward to getting back there and hopefully picking up a win.
Do you kind of walk in there and go, I'm going to school these kids and show them what's up. This is my place.
That's right. That's how I feel every time I go there. I feel like, you know, I have so much experience there from the past 2 years, and It's my home track at the end of the day. You know, I'm a short track guy, and being able to go there and race my late model is super cool. And I feel like, you know, every time we go there, we have really, really, really good speed. And I'm just looking forward to getting back to there.
Do you like it when some of the Cup guys show up for an event like that? I think Josh is going to maybe run it, Josh Berry. But, I mean, that's got to be cool to race against those guys.
Yeah, I love it. You know, they're short track guys too. So, you know, they came from the same place I came from, and getting able to, you know, being able to race those guys that have so much experience, it's super cool. But, you know, I should still beat them at the end of the day just because I race late models more than they do, and, you know, they're in a higher series. So, it's super cool to race them.
Take no mercy for people. Hey, have you wrecked the Rackley truck yet?
I have wrecked it once.
Did Dad come down on you?
No. Okay. He wants me to.
You're grounded.
Yeah. He wants me to put it, you know, all out on the racetrack each and every week, and you know that's all I can really do.
Good.
It's super cool to, you know, have him and being able to just go, you know, do my best each and every week.
Love it.
Well, Dawson, good luck with the rest of the year, and also a couple weeks, 3 weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you, Dawson Sutton,
driver of the number 25 Rackley War Chevy and the Craftsman Truck Series. They'll be at the Rackley Roofing 200 in about 3 weeks at the Nashville Super Speedway. We got to move real fast, so let's just jump in to celebrity birthdays, which, of course, is presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. JoJo, go ahead.
Yeah, let me pull the schedule up here real quick. We'll start with his little sports birthdays. Our good friend Randall Tex Cobb. How old is Randall Cobb today?
I'm going to say he is 39.
41.
Whew, he is 75. Oh. Remember, he was in Raising Arizona. He was the bad guy in Raising Arizona.
I thought you meant the football player.
Sorry, I should have probably said that.
My bad, man. My bad.
I was like, what? Yeah, he's a little older than that. Former Oiler running back, Ronnie Harmon. Derek Mason knows Ronnie Harmon.
56.
55.
61. I can't pronounce. Oh, former Clarksville High School, Dallas Maverick, Sean Marion. NBA player.
45.
43.
47. Chase on the board. 1-0. Former 49ers number one overall pick, Alex Smith.
40.
45.
He is 41 today. Chase up 2-0. The director of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the great, talented Amy Heckerling. Also directed some episodes of The Office.
58.
60.
73. Actor Brecken Meyer. He was in Garfield.
47.
52.
51. Dr. Crane's on the board. 2-1. From SNL, comedian A.D. Bryant.
Ooh. 44.
53.
38. Keep on down here. Actor Alexander Ludwig.
42.
50.
33. Whitney Houston's mom, Thelma Houston. Although she might have passed away, but she's on this list.
82.
80.
82 straight on. Good job, Chaser. Man, not a lot of birthdays today. It's good. Actress Tracy Lords.
40.
52.
57. Singer Eagle Eye Cherry.
38.
41.
54. Drummer Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys. You know when I'm dropping Arctic Monkeys, the birthdays are bad.
You do that in your own time, man. 42.
48.
39. Well, that Chase wins 4-1.
All right.
I'm so sorry.
That will do
not
it.
Not my fault.
For our show today. Thanks to Gibson Garage and the Nashville Super Speedway for having us today. Again, Chasing Checkers tonight at 6 o'clock. You'll hear from the drivers you just heard from. And also, Ross Chastain will join the show as well. That'll do for us.
Yeah, as always, we'll leave the show with our guys out there. If you are struggling and need to talk to somebody, again, on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. We're always here for you. We will tell you every day that you are beautiful, you are amazing, and your journey, although sometimes a little bit bumpy, it's still your journey. And if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. That's why we want you to know every day that you are tremendously loved, not by us, but more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.